Braids by Sarah Poet. Read by Brooke Grass. Summary. You'll always be that sweet little girl I met on Tatooine. Chapter 1. Anakin says, I thought about you every single day. Her eyes are clear blue. They haven't left Padme since Anakin and Kenobi arrived. Padme is used to being watched. By crowds, security, political rivals, men in every corner of the galaxy, and now apparently by assassins. But this feels different in a way she can't quite name. Anakin is tall now, taller than Padme, almost taller than Kenobi. Weedy limbs poke out from the Padawan's voluminous garb. Her braid is frizzing. Padme's gaze keeps catching on the gold-lit strands escaping from it. You'll always be that sweet little girl I met on Tatooine, says Padme. Anakin's mouth twists, her eyebrows going down. Padme joins the rest of the room in pretending not to notice, and they blessedly move on to other topics. It shouldn't disturb her, what with everything else going on. Padme has been the target of many teenage crushes, and the bearer of more than a few herself. They've all burned off into more appropriate forms of regard. The sisterly affection she feels for Sabé, the warmth and iron loyalty between her and Dorme. Anakin will accept that Padme isn't the angel she remembers, and her interest will fade. And then, when this is over, perhaps they can even be friends. If only Anakin would stop staring. You don't like it when I watch you, says Anakin over the comm. Padme pulls the coverlet a little higher around herself. I don't think anyone especially likes being watched. You know we have to, says Anakin. For the mission. The mission is to keep Padme safe. Can you just turn the cam off? Padme tries. I'll leave the comm on. You can still hear me. I can hear you even if I can't hear you. I can feel everything about you. So turn the cam off. Yes, Senator Amidala, says Anakin. Padme slips into a sleep that doesn't last. On the transport to Naboo, Anakin sits stiff and quiet. Her hand rests on the handle of her lightsaber, fingers tracing the grooves, and she grips the handle tightly whenever anyone passes by. You'll like the Lake Country, Padme offers. Nice and quiet, lots of water. It's green everywhere. It's beautiful. Chancellor Palpatine? Chancellor Palpatine says I'm the most promising Jedi he's ever known, Anakin interrupts. Oh? Padme tries to keep the surprise out of her voice. She knows that Palpatine likes to mentor young people, herself included, and he seems to harbour a certain fondness for Anakin. But he hasn't been in the habit of making such sweeping statements as far as she's known him. I didn't know the Chancellor was an expert on Jedi. Anakin bristles. I am strong. I don't doubt it, Padme placates. I only meant... You don't believe me. It seems Padme has struck a nerve. No one believes me. I may be young, but someday I'll be stronger than any of them. I'll be the greatest Jedi who ever lived. Annie, says Padme gently. Anakin is seething, muttering something under her breath about Kenobi. I know you're strong. That's why you're here to protect me. It's true. Even Padme, Force-insensitive as she is, felt the raw power crackling off Anakin when she swept in to slice up the Kohans in her chamber. Padme has worked with Jedi on and off practically since she was a child, and she's never met one quite like Anakin. But Anakin is unstable, and so clearly immature, caught between her potential and the insecurity that restrains her. It must be lonely, Padme thinks suddenly. Padme is lonely sometimes, more often than she'd like to admit, in fact. But she always has peers around her, people she can relate to. It must be terribly, terribly lonely, to be different even among Jedi. She feels a flash of pity for Anakin, alongside her discomfort. Once they arrive at Padme's home, things change. Away from Coruscant, the Jedi Council, and her master, the absence of immediate danger knocks Anakin off balance. Padme suspects she's had little experience with unstructured time before. They have dinner with Padme's family. Anakin is virtually silent for the first half of the meal, answering questions with a terse yes or no, and picking at her food. At first Padme thinks she's still in a sulk. Then Padme's father asks a question that leads into a story, and Anakin starts talking. And Padme realizes that Anakin is terrified. She seems torn between maintaining wooden good manners. To impress them, to keep from making a mistake, and really getting into her story, and she can't make up her mind. Padme watches Anakin dart quick glances between Pooja, Padme's parents, and Padme, trying to read their reactions behind the stonily polite masks, and feels amusement that flickers into sympathy. "Are you still a pilot, Annie?" she interjects. "What's Annie?" Anakin. Anakin. Has trailed off into vague platitudes about the sanctity of the Republic, and the boredom in the room has become all but palpable. Anakin nods, caught off guard, and Padme launches into recounting the Boonta Eve pod race before she can give a verbal answer. It's been a long time since she's told the story. Her family listens with mild interest. She doesn't remember everything, and makes sure to ask Anakin to fill in the details. She asks questions that generate other questions, details of past pod races and life on Tatooine that lead into stories about Anakin and Kenobi's work around the galaxy. The stories are colourful, most of them funny, and Anakin isn't a bad storyteller once she gets excited enough to forget about impressing anyone. The atmosphere lightens. There is a decent amount of laughter around the table. Anakin even manages to eat a little. It's not enough to rescue dinner, but it is something, and Anakin is smiling when they take leave of Padme's family for the evening. "I didn't know you remembered that much," she says, after they've departed for Padme's chambers. "Of course I remember," says Padme. She's not sure why she says it. "Well, I'm glad." Anakin blushes. She looks at her own feet when Padme notices. It's unsettlingly at odds with her previous boasts and fits of rage. When she raises her head again, flushed cheeks and wide eyes, it's even more disturbing. Padme is suddenly aware of how close they're standing. Of, again, how Anakin almost, but does not quite, tower over her. "Good night," says Padme, and turns away. Chapter 2. Out here in the sunlight in the lush country, Padme can't hold on to her worries. Anakin can't seem to either. The outburst-prone child prodigy melts away, and a different girl emerges. Still moody, awkward, desperate to prove herself, but sweet in a way that takes Padme aback. Every day there is something new, something to do or see, and Padme can feel the last of her cares slipping from her. It's been so long since she had time like this. This is all during the day, of course. At night, Padme can't sleep, and Anakin has nightmares. Padme has heard Anakin crying out in her sleep. She knows Anakin must have heard her pacing, that she probably senses her agitation. But they don't discuss it, don't even mention it, and in the morning they start as if nothing has happened. Anakin, as it turns out, has opinions. A lot of opinions. These opinions concern many subjects, and one of those subjects is politics. Padme has opinions of her own in this domain, but she will put them aside in order to educate Anakin. As instrumental to the Republic's functioning as the Jedi are, the Order appears to lack a strong civics curriculum. At times, Padme will think she's made headway. Anakin will listen without interruption, reactions flickering across her face as Padme explains the nuances of one Senate issue or another, the competing needs and relationships and the impediments to resolution. But then Anakin will toss her head and say something like, "I can't believe they're all so stupid." And they're right back to where they started. Anakin thinks there's one right way for things to be. She thinks she can make them be that way. The way she can make a lightsaber, or a piece of fruit, or a sliver of empty space leap into her hand and bend according to her will. That is her world. Padme lives in another. One night, Padme hears Anakin call for her mother. And instead of continuing down the hall to her rooms, she knocks on Anakin's door. Anakin doesn't answer. It sounds like someone is crying. The door falls ajar at the brush of Padme's hand, so she goes inside. Anakin? The room is dark. Anakin is sitting up in bed. A slice of light from the uncovered window crosses her face. "You were dreaming," says Padme. "I had a vision of my mother." 2 days ago, Padme had a serious argument with her mother regarding the appropriate way to load the sonic dishwasher. A vision? She was in pain. She called out to me. Anakin's small hands clench in the bedclothes. Obi-Wan says it's a trick, but it feels real. I can feel her pain. I'm sorry. I don't know why the Force would show me this, Anakin says. Padme is out of her depth. I'm sorry, she says again. She sits on the edge of Anakin's bed. What would help? Having someone here. Having you here. Half Anakin's face is in shadow, but Padme can see the side of her mouth quirk up. That helps a lot. They sit for a moment. Anakin shifts slightly, the blanket around her slipping. Padme glimpses the bare, nightlit curve of her back and realizes she isn't wearing a shirt. Sudden heat pools in her abdomen, and she hates herself. For a second, she wishes more than anything that Anakin were with someone who loved her, really loved her, the way people should, as a daughter or a sister or a friend, not someone who sees her as a tool or a weapon, not someone who only loves the thing she could be, not someone who wants her the way Padme apparently wants her, however that is, or whatever it means. Anakin is watching her. She watches as Padme reaches out and touches her shoulder. Her eyes widen as Padme leans in to hug her, careful to keep the blanket between them. Her body tensing, then melting into relaxation. She's warm and smells like sleep and sweat. She makes a tiny, aborted movement to follow when Padme pulls away. Sleep better, says Padme, keeping her tone light. We can talk tomorrow. She feels Anakin's eyes burn on her back as she walks out of the room. They don't talk. They have breakfast, and Padme reads a report from her staff on Coruscant, and at some point Anakin goes off to confer with Obi-Wan via hologram. She returns from this conversation looking so surly that Padme suggests they go out on the lake. This is a mistake. You are my bodyguard! Padme shouts, voice barely able to carry over the roar of the speeder, which, at this moment, may or may not be standing straight up, the bow aimed skyward. Anakin just cackles and goes even faster. Evening finds them sitting on the terrace. Anakin makes fun of Padme for changing for dinner. I swear, you have more clothes than all the younglings in the temple combined. Padme sniffs, opens a bottle of emerald wine. It's traditional dress, mostly. It's patriotic. And I wouldn't have had to change if you hadn't gotten us soaked. On realizing what she's just said, she blanches, but Anakin doesn't seem to have noticed. Hey, I'm not complaining. You always look beautiful. It seems safest to ignore this remark, so Padme does. She tilts the bottle towards Anakin. Would you like some? Anakin makes a face. Ugh, no. I mean, thank you, it's not to my taste. Padme laughs and pours a glass for herself. Can Jedi even drink wine? Obi-Wan does, usually because of me. I can believe that. Padme makes a show of sipping from her glass, stares into the distance with an air of exaggerated cynicism. Hey! Anakin protests, but she's giggling. Discussion turns from alcohol to Kenobi's various and surprising predilections, to Naboo and history, to hair. Anakin, a girl whose hair, save the single long braid hanging behind her right ear, has been kept short for practical reasons all her life, doesn't understand how Padme's hair does what it does. Like, any of it, including the really simple stuff. Even the style Padme has it in now, half up, half loose curls falling past her shoulders. Do you want me to show you? Padme is halfway through her third glass of wine. The sun has gone down, Its embers hardly purple on the horizon. Okay. Padme leads Anakin to her room. There's a dresser with a mirror and a chair. Padme has taken people here before. She tries not to think about them. She sits in the chair and beckons Anakin to stand behind her. What should I? Anakin hovers. Just do what I say. Padme guides her in taking out the pins that hold her hair. Once Anakin gets going, her hands are sure, but her eyes dart nervously between Padme's reflection and the back of Padme's head. You're doing great, Padme assures. Anakin stabs herself with a pin and curses. Padme says, Why don't we switch places? It might be easier to understand if it's your hair. They maneuver awkwardly into place. Anakin is a little too tall for the chair. Her thick, sandy hair sticks out behind her ears. Padme hides a smile, cards her fingers through it. You have lovely hair, Annie. You should grow it out. Will they let you? Maybe. When I pass the trials. Anakin's eyes flutter shut for a moment, then open, darker than before. That feels good. I'm glad. Anakin brings her hand up to cover Padme's, and Padme realizes that she's been cupping the side of Anakin's face with one hand, resting her thumb in the dip below her lower lip. In the mirror, their eyes lock. Anakin brings Padme's knuckles to her mouth and kisses them. Your skin is so smooth. Anakin's tone is dreamy. Her mouth is open, breath hot against Padme's fingers. Padme wonders what would happen if she pushed them inside. Padme swallows, throat suddenly dry. The wine is spinning in her head. The wine. Let go of me. Anakin regards her with glazed eyes, nuzzles her hand. I said let me go, Padme repeats, wrenching out of Anakin's grasp and breaking the spell. Her own face in the mirror is red, her hair disheveled. She looks angry. Padme. Get out. Padme, You need to leave now, please. Fine, says Anakin, rising from the chair. Padme stands aside to let her leave. Can't look at her. It takes a long time to fish the remaining pins out of her hair. Chapter 3. When Padme goes to find her later, Anakin is out on the terrace in the dark. She doesn't look behind her as Padme approaches. Padme says, I came to apologize. I wish you wouldn't, unless... Anakin turns toward Padme, takes in her expression, and turns back to contemplating the black surface of the lake, sulking. Never mind. Padme steps closer to her. It's cool outside. She draws her wrap around her shoulders. I'm sorry. The way I acted was wrong. I shouldn't have let you. Let me what? Anakin whirls around. Let me think you could love me? Anakin, says Padme helplessly. Just tell me. Is it because I'm a Jedi? Because I'm a girl? Or do you simply find me ugly? Don't lie now. I've felt your thoughts. It's because you're a child, Padme snaps, and wishes she hadn't. I mean, you're very young, Anakin. Anakin stares at her. You're not that old. I'm old enough to know what I should and shouldn't do, regardless of anyone's feelings. Anakin says, Tell me your feelings. She's gotten closer, looming a little. Shadows gather in the hollow of her throat, the barely visible valley between her breasts. Padme shrinks from her warmth. You should go inside. It's late. Padme, tell me. My feelings don't matter. They matter to me. Padme whispers. I can't steal your future from you like this. But Anakin is saying, Padme, Padme. And Padme's hands are in her hair, and her hips are against her hips, and her mouth is on her mouth before she can say much else. If Padme is concerned about the fallout the next morning, she shouldn't be. Anakin wakes from another vision of her mother, with deadened, red-rimmed eyes, a scratchy voice, and the sort of dogged conviction that probably haunts both Kenobi's days and nights. Though, in this situation, it isn't particularly funny anymore. They go to Tatooine. They find the farm. It's too late. Anakin's mother dies. Padme owns 3 spaceships, an apartment suite in an expensive area of Coruscant's Senate District, a secret apartment suite in a less expensive area of Coruscant's Senate District, and shares in an ancestral estate that includes a private beach. She has enough fine art to fill a gallery, enough clothing, jewellery, costumery, cosmetics, and miscellaneous personal care items to support a traditional Nabooan theatre troupe, and enough armour and weaponry to comfortably outfit a small mercenary team. When she was 14, she was elected ruler of a planet. She is directly responsible for the lives of a dozen people, and indirectly responsible for the well-being of billions more. And yet, still, crouched on the Lars kitchen floor with a mass murderer crying in her arms, she feels that she has had nothing of her own. "I killed them all," Anakin sobs, and Padme thinks, "Let me have her. Please, let me keep her. There's nothing else that I want." Anakin's tears are wet on her shirt, hot but quickly cooling. Somewhere in the house a machine is humming. Padme smells blood. In the moments just before they enter the arena on Geonosis, Padme considers that she's going to die. It's likely they were doomed from the first time they met, now that she thinks about it. But she hadn't thought it would end like this. There are issues unresolved between them. There are things Padme wants Anakin to know. Padme made her choice on Tatooine, but Anakin doesn't understand that. She needs to hear the words. So, in a pocket of quiet, Padme says them. Anakin doesn't believe her. "You mean like a sister?" she says, shoulders hunched, resigned, petulant as a child, even as they're being escorted to their public and violent deaths. Padme almost smiles in spite of herself. "No," says Padme. "Not like a sister at all." She opens everything she's feeling, the ugly parts and the good parts, the selfish cravings Anakin will see as love, and the measured cautions she'll fear and misinterpret, and tries to beam it at Anakin, looks her in the eye. She's never really gotten how the mind-reading works, despite years of working with and around Jedi, but Anakin seems to receive the message, or at least part of it. Enough for now, perhaps. Anakin's lips part, but she doesn't say anything. The gate lifts. Kenobi and Anakin stiffen. Padme squares her shoulders. And they're marched into the brightness, before the roaring crowd. The end. Thanks for listening.